Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the podcast, Not Your Average Shaman. I am your host, KL, and I am a shaman. So, come on, let's get into it. This is a really amazing feeling, and I can't tell you how excited I am to have a new microphone on set in the studio. That's what you're listening to me on now, and we're going to get into it. So the last time that we spoke, we left off on going into the very final phase of the senses, and that would be something that we maybe know very well because of the term that's used to describe it, the sixth sense. Now, it could get a little bit tricky, but I'm going to do my best to exemplify as much as possible. So the term itself is slightly misrepresented. We call it the sixth sense because, generally speaking, for many, many years, through the act of science, we've been told that we only have five. So by identifying it as the sixth sense, we're sort of, you know, we feel it's something else, you know, something new, something, you know, maybe arbitrary, something that, you know, hasn't been there before, you know, like the discovery of a planet. And that's not really what it is. We've always had this. And if you are aware of any form of anthropological studies that go into the history of various past cultures around the world, they'll show you that. Instinct is the same thing. In fact, without this very, very particular sense that is organic to our minds, we would not have survived, period. In fact, every species on Earth has this very simple, this simple ability. Now, just on that note, if you've been following so far, it's really important for you to be able to put everything together. You know, I know you've, you know, for those of you who have actually, you know, gone in and done the work and experienced what each of your sensory organs feel like when you are paying attention to them, this one is no different. So I want to really instill in you right now that there's nothing mysterious about the sixth sense. Absolutely nothing at all. If you can wrap your mind around that, this will be just as easy as the previous exercises. The only difference with this particular sense is that we're using the same thing that we've used to observe all the others. Now, at first glance, that may seem counterintuitive, but I promise you it's not. We're using our mind to observe our mind. And in a nutshell, that's basically what the sixth sense is. So, the easiest way for you to be able to accomplish this, beginning with the exact same process of breathing. So, your breath sequence remains the same. Paying attention to your heartbeat also remains the same. And I want to describe what you're going to accomplish by adding just a couple more pieces. Your understanding of how your mind works, I would recommend for this particular exercise, just kind of throw that out for now. And yes, I know that sounds crazy. But preconceived notions always muddle what you are actually experiencing. For those of you who are artists, or those who simply draw, this would also make sense to you. When you're drawing or when you're painting, especially if you've been classically trained in any form of classroom, as far as art is concerned, you're taught to draw or paint what you see. And you are taught to see in a very specific way, which is just paint what you see. Not interpret, but paint exactly what you see. See, that part of your mind that loves to be analytical hijacks every part of your processing every single day, every single second of every day. Literally, your mind sabotages you with the act of let us process, we must process. How many people do you know that say, oh my God, look, I need to process. We're taught to do this. We're taught to give that part of our mind that kind of leverage. It doesn't mean, and let me rephrase that. I am not meaning to say that that is a bad part of you. On the contrary, I'm saying that this is an extremely powerful part of you. And because of its power, it is extremely important that you gain a very clear understanding of it so that you are able to make use of it, as opposed to simply let it run the gamut of your life. And I hope that makes sense to you. That said, one of the pieces that we're going to add to this particular exercise is to shake out any sort of jitters. I was thinking about how to describe this. And of course, this being my first podcast, it's a little bit challenging to articulate as opposed to visually demonstrate. So bear with me. I'm learning as we go along. I'm learning as you learn. So let me try to articulate this. Here's one example. If you are a candy connoisseur and you enjoy the thrill of sour candies. This is a really good example. Especially if you really, really love candy, then you somehow prepare yourself because you're told this is a sour candy, or this is the most sour candy, or man, you put this in your mouth, oh my God, it's going to get you. So all of that sort of hyping up gets you emotionally ready to participate in consuming this candy. When you do put it in your mouth, depending on the intensity of the sour, the receptors in your tongue begin to salivate in order to break down that first layer of the candy and then immediately transmit that into the receptors on your tongue that are highly attuned to the taste of sour. That then is immediately transmitted to your brain and seeks out the description. Now, because you've already emotionally hyped up yourself about how sour this could potentially be, well, that enhances the experience. And what does your body physically do? If you've practiced over time to respond in a very specific way where that's concerned, then that's exactly how your body begins to prepare itself to autonomously respond. So you begin to crease your face, you begin to extend the face muscles, and your shoulders rise, and you begin to tense your entire upper body. Then your throat begins to constrict or expand, as the case might be. Sometimes it may be so sour that you are sticking your tongue out for whatever reason. It's not hot, but you still stick your tongue out. It makes no sense, but somehow, maybe by airing your tongue out, the sour might go away. You put your tongue back in, and you still are extending and constricting and contracting, and then your entire body gets involved, and then you start to shake. Now, if you're a kid, there's a lot of jumping involved. I hope that by describing it that way, you sort of get the picture. As you come down from that experience, to me, this is the really interesting part of a sour candy. The euphoria from the release of all of that tension then really gets you because the inner part of that sour candy usually tends to be super sweet. The gratification behind it. You wore that candy down, and now you get the reward of this sweet, nectary aftertaste. So what do? You do it again. By all logical reason, it's counterintuitive. Why would you go through the emotional pain, the emotional stress of so much sour, so many body contortions just to get to that sweet? We've been taught to do this. We all have been taught to do this. My reason for describing this is very simple. I would like for you to understand that experience because this is how intense you must also consider relaxing. Yes, I did use that exact phrase. you have to feel all of that intensity by being aware of how tense you are. And by being aware of how tense you are, you're able to allow that some space to express itself by shaking it out, physically shaking it out. I hope you're getting the picture as we move along. You have to not just rotate your neck, you want to shake your head. Not just stretch your arms and expand your chest. No, you want to wiggle. You want to be able to not just roll your back, you know, or lean far back as possible. No, no, no. You want to gyrate. You gotta really get into it. You want to not just extend your legs and point your toes. No, 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 no. No. You want to vibrate your legs as if your thighs were so cold that you needed to jump around just to get the muscles active so you could create some heat. By performing all of these actions, you're doing a number of things. You're increasing your heart rate. That, by extension, increases blood flow. You do tend to breathe a bit deeper, which means you have more oxygen. More oxygen traveling to the brain means that you're going to be more alert. Do you see what I'm saying? This is how important those minute pieces of activity are. By shaking the tension out, you also increase the flow of oxygen, which then makes you more alert. I know some of you may not have understood the reasons why. If you have a desk job, they tell you to, you know, get up, exercise, stretch. Well, this is the reason. Is because the flow of oxygen is the end result, and that generally makes you way more alert at the end of the process. So now that we understand this, your first step in this particular exercise is to shake the tension out. And then you allow yourself, just like the candy's sour dissipating, you allow yourself to feel all of that tension dissipating from the crown of your head through your eyes, your nose, your cheeks, your neck muscles, your shoulders, your traps, your biceps, your forearms, your wrists, even your hands, your palms, your fingertips, your chest, your breast, your diaphragm, your upper back, kidneys, you know, abdomen, upper, middle, lower, your pelvic region, you know. Let this intensity be so clear to you that you can actually feel tension draining away from testes, from the shaft of the penis, from the inner vagina, all the way to the outward, to the clitoris, to the majora labia, majora and minor labia. Really feel it. Feel the tension draining away. You have to feel that comfortable with your body that you can be fully aware of how tense you actually are in that moment and allow all of that wiggling out to take full effect. In doing so, as you go past your waist, into your thighs, back of your legs, back of your knees, feel it draining all the way down your calves, your shin, instep, heel, all the way out the bottom of the soles of your feet, even your toes. That's how intense I want you to feel that release. Really put your observation into it. The euphoria that you'll feel after from such a release is also crucially important. If you miss these two first steps, you have to restart it because you won't get the full benefit of understanding how to accept the things that you're going to experience. And acceptance is only one stage of it. So now that you've done that release, now that you've wiggled all that tension out, what's the next step? Well, now we go back to the previous steps. So you begin to breathe. By experiencing breathing after this kind of tense release, you're really able to feel the air, to experience the temperature, to experience even the dryness or the moisture within the air. That's how clear you become in that moment. Taking that and then adding to dropping, and then I want to describe it this way. You want to drop your consciousness, your full state of awareness, consciously, all the way down from breathing into the chest so that you can feel your heartbeat. And your conscious awareness of feeling the heartbeat must then be pushed further to actually hear it. You must be so intunely focused that you can hear the effect of the vibration of your heart going da-dump, 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 da-dump. You have to be able to hear that. This is not a rush. You definitely want to take your time with this. Once you're able to get to that point where you can not just feel your heartbeat, but you can hear it, now we're getting into the good part. The next stage is begin visualizing. And I want to make this absolutely clear. This is not an imagination. This is a active, constructive visualization. So what I would like you to do at this point is to visualize. Visualize yourself in a completely empty room. Once you have this firmly, the next part of the visualization is to look directly in front of you. The orientation must be organic, natural. Wherever you strongly feel front of you is in that visualization, you have to internally look into that direction. When you do that, for those of you who have really super overactive minds, this may seem counterintuitive and it may feel like, okay, that's impossible. I can't do that. I think too much. That's actually the point. I'll describe it. When you look in front of you, especially if you have overactive mind, you want your mind to be extra overactive at that point. Why? Because the visualization of the activity of your mind, you want to put it into a very specific format. You want to visualize all of those thoughts and activities as a slideshow. And by doing it in that particular format, what you're going to experience is basically kind of like an old school silent movie, and potentially with sound. I can't stress this enough. It's very important. It is super important to allow your mind to go absolutely hog wild. Every single thought, every single activity, action, idea, this is not processing. And here's why. When you are quote unquote processing, you are thinking about the issue, you're thinking about your emotional state, which is how you feel about the issue. You're thinking about what are the social implications if you were to take action or not take action on the issue. And you begin to think about, do you have a right to take action at all? And if you did choose to take action without you thinking that you have the right to take action, what does that look like socially? Are you going to be ostracized? And a whole bunch of other thoughts. That's processing. We're not doing that. What you're going to do is allow all of the thoughts to present themselves and look at them as a slideshow. Do not interact. So I know that may not seem clear for some, so I'm going to explain it a little bit. Let's say the thought comes across your mind, shit, I forgot to buy laundry soap. Right, so I paused right there, and you were thinking, ooh, I wonder what happened, right? That is a perfect example of what I mean by do not interact. We're taught every day to not just look at our thoughts, we're taught to interact with them. That creates a lot of noise. In order to actually have a quiet mind, you have to be a keen observer. By keenly observing, you begin to notice facts. The facts then allow you to make an informed decision on the kind of action that you know that you should take. That's how simple the process really is. That leads you not to processing, but to taking affirmative action. Processing usually is a waste of time. Observation, however, that is the real key. This particular exercise for the sixth sense means that you are going to experience what it's like to be a keen observer. Because through that observation, that is literally the only way Keen observation allows you to see facts. No matter what else is going on, no matter how much belligerent effort there is to cloud the issue or the situation, you will always see facts when you are in keen observation mode. And to me, I think that is an amazing thing. That is like, it's beyond amazing. I remember my first time doing that, and it was absolutely astounding. If you put the right effort into this, I can promise you the same thing. You will begin to experience seeing from a very different point of view. And notice I didn't say perspective. Perspective can be bought and sold because it's based on a number of parameters which you have no control over. We don't want perspective. We want the point of view. The point of view comes from keen observation of facts. Going back to the exercise, all of your thoughts and the activities of your mind, when viewed as a slideshow, allow you to keenly observe how those thoughts are formed, how they come in, and how they are categorized and organized, because your mind automatically does those things. You don't necessarily have to do it. If you give your mind the space to basically go into auto mode, that very simple act of looking at all of your thoughts as a slideshow releases you from actively participating until you have seen all of the data. And I think that's a great thing, to be quite honest. It's not that you're giving up any responsibility. It's not like hypnotism where you're giving over control. It's not like subliminal impressions where you're being bombarded with autonomous activity response commands. None of that. You are in the driver's seat when you give yourself this level of keen observation. So going back to the example, shit, I forgot to buy laundry soap. Naturally, you'll be thinking, okay, where should I go get it? What time is it right now? Do I have time? I should probably get it tomorrow. Shit, what do I have to do tomorrow? All of those thoughts usually follow. But they're simply thoughts. Here's where involvement happens. When you start planning, okay, I think I'm going to go tomorrow because I don't have time right now because I have to make that call, or you know, somebody's coming over, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Now that decision is based on, well, how much of your clothes are actually dirty, and how important is it to wear something clean tomorrow? Those are all processing facts. And what I'm saying to you is, in this moment, the context of this moment is to eliminate all forms of processing. Simply observe. So when the thought comes in, shit, I forgot to buy laundry soap. You have to get so good at this that you don't even be like, because that is an interaction that then leads to processing. So you want to be like, shit, I forgot laundry soap. Next thought. I don't know if it's on sale. next thought. And if you go like this, now, mind you, let me be very, very clear about this. This is not an easy task, not by a long shot, not even in the same time zone as easy. It is a challenge. It is an infinitesimal challenge. If you've never done it before, it would appear to be insurmountable. I still maintain that it is one of the greatest challenges on the planet. Hence the reason for all of the exercises, you only do this for 5 minutes. That's what makes this even more powerful. On that note, let me identify this for you. Doing it for 5 minutes is not about the 5 minutes. It is about you being in control of how you allow your mind to perform its own actions consciously. By setting that limit, you are creating sort of a template for how all of your mental constructs will work, the mechanism behind the mechanics. So from the mental point of view, when you set out to have a keen observation mode for 5 minutes, that is a designated time in space. Because no matter where you are, it becomes a space. If you are a long distance traveler and you decide, hey, look, I'm pulling over, I'm going to take 5 minutes to have a nap, right? How many times do we say that? And then we end up having way more than 5 minutes. At the beginning of your 5 minute nap, this is what you can do. If you're driving right now and you're listening to this, it is actually that easy to just simply pull off to the side of the road and have 5 minutes. And since we are in such an amazing technological age, it's actually really easy to set up that 5 minutes. So here's how. Go to your phone or to whatever device you have and go to that part of the clock app that allows you to set a timer. Set the timer for 5 minutes, but don't hit start just yet. Now, here's why. Remember earlier when I talked about wiggling out? Yeah, that takes more than 5 minutes. Now, as you get better at wiggling out and you get better at forming your mind into that state where you know that this is what you're going to do, wiggling out becomes a signal for your body to relax. So you have to practice it first. And by practicing it, it sets up your body to have muscle memory. Now, I know this is a little bit intricate in the way that I'm describing it, but I haven't even found anyone out there who's describing it like this for you, you know, for you to actually understand this. Most people have always asked, you know, hey, how do I meditate? How do I do this? How do I do that? But there's no real detailed description. So for those of you who may find it a little bit tedious, yeah. But when you put it into action, the process is actually quite simple and it can be done really quickly. Fast is not the point. But your muscle developing the memory of performing these actions. That's really the point. So you're going to take time to wiggle out. Once you're done wiggling out and you feel that euphoria of, that felt good, that's when you hit the start button and you begin. When the timer goes off, stop. It's excruciatingly important that you do not go past 5 minutes. Remember, the point is control based on this time in space. And that is a big part of the mental construct. Everything you do in that moment must be clearly defined. Most people, when they set an alarm clock, when they wake up in the morning, they hit the snooze button. Why? Just one more minute. Just 5 more minutes. Doing this will ultimately get you out of that habit. I can promise you that. Just by doing this particular exercise. Being in control of those 5 minutes is extremely important. Being able to have a keen observation session within the confines of those 5 minutes, that's also important. So now that we've understood that part, when the 5 minutes are up, stop. Re-engage your conscious mind into where you are and what you're doing. Simply put, reorient yourself. You know, if you're traveling, come back mentally into your car, into your vehicle. Observe your surroundings when you open your eyes. You know, see the cars, hear them. Bring yourself back into reality. Now, when I'm doing this for a client in session and in person, or even video call, I always advise them at that point, once they've come to instruct themselves into a confirmation. That confirmation must be, wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes. One of the really amazing movies, Kill Bill, demonstrates this. Wiggle your big toe. Mind and will are stronger than everything else on this planet. I'm going to say that again. Mind and will are stronger than anything else on this planet. It's not a belief statement. It is a fact statement. Yes, I actually did pause for you to process. Mind and will are stronger than anything else on this planet. All right. Now, you may think that I didn't finish the instructions, but actually I did. The purpose of the 5 minutes is to observe your thoughts in the format of the slides. And to only observe the thoughts and not interact with them. Do not process them. Do not continue thinking about them. Even if there are follow-up thoughts, all of the thoughts usually are questions that are begging for a solution and for you to resolve the solution, for your active conscious mind to participate in the solution. the purpose of these 5 minutes is to absolutely not participate, to simply observe. That is one of the biggest points of it. Only observe your thoughts. By throwing it into the format of the slideshow, it allows you to simply just watch like TV, like, you know, how you would look at a video on your phone or on your tablet or other visual device. Yeah. So, this brings us to the end of this part of the instruction. Now, in the description of this episode, you will see 3 video links at the bottom. I thought that maybe if you are interested, you'd feel a little more inclined to research this further. So those links are to pieces of research that I have found that intricately describes the way that our mind and our internal sight functions. One of the things that I've found quite curious is something called persistent vision. That will blow your mind. There is a way to get past the lack of control of persistent vision, but understanding what it is first, I think that's a real key. This concludes the 6 senses that we talked about. And in the next episode, we're going to go on to the next topic to further enhance your spiritual experience. All right. To close off with a little bit of a housekeeping, I am so excited for those who supported and, you know, made it possible for me to have a new mic, you know, sound better. I appreciate you. Thank you. And for those of you who are still listening, thank you. Thank you for being a part of what it is I have to say. If you would like to participate in supporting as well, my Patreon link is also in the description of this podcast. We're building it from the ground up, and I would love to have you. I'm going to leave you with that, and trust that you're an amazing human. It's been an honor to have you with me today, and I look forward to us meeting again. In the meantime, I'd like you to look into that mirror and say these words. Damn, you're sexy.